I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Oh, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Outhouse.
Hey, welcome back to Cryptids of Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J Clone 8.
Outhouse J.
Outhouse J. Yep, I'm going to live in an outhouse.
You were against the outhouse. You and Emily were against the outhouse.
I'm back.
I said that idea to Emily and she's like,
no, I'm still against the outhouse. I kind of just said it just to be funny. But I think I could live a nomadic lifestyle. Constantly just moving my house around.
I don't care what you do.
I move with the harvest, you know?
From this acre to that acre.
I follow the berries. I follow the fish.
Yeah.
Follow the grouse.
Can't wait to build the fish pond. Like, the fish runs.
Right, yeah.
Anyways, welcome back. We're talking about property things. I think we're both moving.
Have we announced it out of there?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, new things are afoot.
New things are afoot. So that's why some things have been slow on the Cryptids of Corn, like, responding stuff.
We're moving.
Together.
Or eventually.
Eventually, yeah. Yes. The process has started, but it'll probably be at least a year.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that.
So if you're wanting to buy an old house in Ada, Ohio, let me know.
Right, that's true. It will
it's
be
huge.
For sale soon.
All right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about something we've talked about a lot, and I kept putting it off, right, because I wanted more information. And I tried it again, and I just couldn't find what I'm wanting for, like what I really want.
You still haven't found what you're looking for?
Because it's just really hard to get what I think, and there's some incredible researchers in Australia, but we're going to talk about Yowie.
Oh, Yowie!
Yowie!
So what they say in Australia when they, you know, hit their foot on mm-hmm. the corner of a couch.
Or King Brown or an inland taipan bites you.
Yeah, that's also a Yowie.
Yowie!
Yeah.
Gosh. No, so the Australian quote-unquote Bigfoot-like creature, which we'll talk about. This is a lot of sightings for this episode.
Okay.
We're just going to go into that kind of side of it.
A lot of Yowie sightings?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a little bit of Aboriginal text
Ooh.
About that. So the problem with the Aboriginal stuff is, like any native groups, you know, from around the world, they, you know, a lot of their history gets lost. Due to colonization and that kind of stuff, you know, from the 1700s on, 1600s on. And the Aborigines have an extremely old history.
Very.
But most of it's oral.
Right, yep.
So it dies with the people.
Lost in translation.
Yeah, and there's some of that.
Yeah.
So I do have a section for Aboriginals, like the lore and their thoughts and their talk of the Yowie, but not a lot. And that's kind of the big reason I've been pushing this off for such a long time, because I really wanted that piece of it.
Right.
And I really couldn't find it. So I decided to do this episode in hopes that, you know, we have a pretty big Australian audience and you guys have helped with many other cases and things and that kind of stuff. So if you really have a paper or, you know, anything that you can find in your own home country that you could send to us for Yowie or anything in general for you guys' stuff.
Right, like anything. Grandpop's old diary.
Yeah, I've talked to weird stuff in Australia before about it and stuff like that. One of my favorite Australian podcasts. They're great people. one of the most interesting interviews we ever did.
Yeah.
What was it, like midnight their time? And like, we were here at like 5 a.m. or something.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
It was weird. So maybe 10 o'clock their time and like 5 a.m. our time.
Our time,
different
yeah.
days.
Yeah. Yeah, that was odd. That was fun though.
It just was hard to set up. Not to anybody's fault. Just the whole different day thing is
being on the other side of the world.
Yeah, it's hard. But if I ever leave the United States, it would be to go to Australia. And
that's
it's not for their political anything like that. It's just because I would disappear into the outback,
the bush. I could see you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd make it
mm-hmm.
for a little bit.
You'd never see me again.
Well, obviously, because you'd probably be, you know, not alive.
No, I'd just breed inland taipans.
Oh, okay.
As guard dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd work.
All right. So the Bigfoot-like creature is not exclusive to the United States at all. You know, it's famous for the Himalayas, South America, Russia, China. And probably besides the North American Sasquatch and the Yeti,
mm-hmm.
The Yowie, I'm going to give number three spot for recognizability for the name
yeah.
out of the Bigfoot circles.
It's got to be up there.
The Yeren, the Ona, you know, the O-ring Pendek. They're there, but they're...
Yowie's still above.
I think Yowie is number three.
I agree.
And I think it's just... I don't know why.
It's just name recognition. It's just name recognition. It's good branding.
Good branding.
Australia's good at marketing.
So, yeah, in the same way that Native Americans have a long history of reports of Sasquatch here in North America, the Pacific Northwest and, you know, around the Great Lakes region and stuff like that, the Australian Aboriginal people have long told the existence of the Yowies.
Yep.
There is yet another parallel between North America, it's Bigfoot, and the Australian Yowie. A careful peruse of old newspapers shows that the Yowie, just like Bigfoot, was known long before the term Bigfoot was ever created in the 1950s.
Okay.
So this is another thing that we talk about with the North American Sasquatch,
mm-hmm.
that they think that, you know, a movie came out about Bigfoot. It's the same thing with Nessie, you know.
The Bigfoot phenomenon
started
then.
In the 1950s and 60s.
Right, yeah.
No, there was newspaper clippings from the 1800s here in North America.
1700s.
I love Adam Benedict's books.
Yes.
Because it highlights that so well. There's no embellishments. There's no nothing. They are literally just cut copies.
From the newspaper articles.
From the newspaper articles from around the country.
Yep.
And, you know, we always talk about there's a lot of yellow journalism, you know, forever.
Meaning?
That embellishments, even full-on fabrications.
Just to tell a story.
But to my opinion, there is too many of the Bigfoots, you know, in the 1800 newspapers.
For them all to be that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just in my opinion, it's impossible.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Because a lot of it was local newspapers, and then we talk about that, like, the story was in Wisconsin, but, you know, it got reported in...
Florida.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, that's weird how that's a reoccurring thing, not even just in this field, but in general. It's very
right,
odd
right,
to
right.
me. That, yeah, local story in Kansas gets published in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
But, and that's how it just goes.
Well, yeah. So many sightings of the Yowie occur in the vast Blue Mountains that dominate the city of Sydney in what's termed as the Sydney Basin. A firsthand report, and I have tons of reports.
Okay.
Everybody didn't know the Blue Mountains, not the Blue Ridge Mountains, that's here.
The Shenandoah River.
No, the Blue Mountains, Ash had come on with her organic UFO sightings.
Yes.
That's where the film that we have from her.
Mm-hmm.
Is from the Blue Mountains.
Oh, okay.
The Blue Mountains, as far as the organic UFO side, are probably my highest reports of all of Australia and for organic UFO type creatures. But there's the Blue Mountains are home to not just Yowies, but Bunyip, all kinds of folklore and mythical creatures and that
oddness,
kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think it just, we talk about it with mountain ranges, right? It's
mm-hmm.
just something with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so many sightings, the Sydney Basin, firsthand report from February of 1842, a whole 100 years before the term Bigfoot ever showed up.
Right.
Offers a graphic description of the beast. It was published in a letter from the Australian and New Zealand Monthly Magazine. So here's a quote. The being they described as resembling a man of nearly the same height, with long white hair hanging down from his head over his features. The arms, though, were extraordinarily long, furnished at the extremities with great talons. And at the feet, they turned backwards so that on flying from man, the imprints of the foots appeared to be traveling in the opposite direction. Although they describe it as a hideous monster of an unearthly characteristics and ape-like in appearance.
So ape-like creature with backwards feet.
Now, that's not the only time we've ever heard backwards feet.
That is, yeah.
Because South America, that one of their Bigfoots are said to have backwards feet. And then I think it's, Sherwin's going to be mad at me. It's one of like, it may be the Philippines. One of the vampires has backwards feet. And it's, I can't remember, it's Vietnam, the Philippines. Sherwin would know because he has art of it.
Like, yeah, I know. I don't remember either.
But no. But,
Sherwin, help.
But there are the backwards feet. There's a bunch of African folklore that have, you know, all kinds of creatures with backwards feet. But yeah. So what do you think of that description?
It could be anywhere from something supernatural to just our weird one-off hominid Bigfoot type creature. But I don't know. The backwards feet always is just a weird... That just feels weird to me.
Now, I don't know if they seen backwards feet on them.
Yeah.
Or if that they seen tracks going one way and seen the Yowie going the other way.
Yeah.
And just assume that.
Right.
Because I think there's... you keep in mind, this is over almost 200 yes. years ago.
And when I say by weird, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I necessarily believe that it's, like you just said, like that. Or if it is a creature with actual backwards feet. Because if it is, then it's saying to me that it's probably not... something physically real or yes, like naturally yes, yes. occurring.
Not a normal animal.
Yes.
A supernatural animal.
Correct.
But yeah, so this is, you know, a very unique thing. 100 years before the term Bigfoot ever showed up.
Okay.
Just interesting to me.
Yeah, it is. Very much so.
On December 9th of 1882, a firsthand account surfaced from a Mr. H.J. Mahoney. MacHooney. Who was... who told the Australian Town and Country Journal newspaper the following. A few days ago, I saw one of these strange creatures. I should think that if it was standing upright, it would be nearly 5 feet high. So the first two we have aren't huge. They're people-sized. It was tailless and covered with large or very long black hair. It had dirty red or a snuff colored about the throat of the beast. In its eyes, which were small and restless, were partly hidden by matted hair that covered its head. It threw a stone at an animal, whereupon it immediately rushed off.
It threw a stone at an animal?
Oh, sorry, I threw a stone at the animal.
Okay.
The guy did.
I was going to say, I'm like, wait a minute.
He just chucked a little rock at it and looked at him and took off.
It took off, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
The Yowie took off. So not very big. These first two are not, you know, 5.5-6 foot tall, probably for the first one. He said about the size of a man, roughly.
Okay.
You know, so somewhere in there. And then this one, he said about 5 feet. And apparently not extremely intimidating creatures.
No.
If you're walking up and just chucking a little rock, like, get out of here, buddy.
Right, yeah.
But a colored throat patch
is
very interesting because he said it was black with hair.
Yeah.
But it had a snuff colored throat patch.
What's that mean?
Red. It's like a red or a tan.
Okay.
A like different kind of shade of brown that like...
Oh, okay. I was going to say like a baboon's like butt.
Well, it makes me think of gibbons and other animals that have actual vocal pouches.
Yep.
They're often in males a different color.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, it's just a sexual dimorphic thing.
Right, yeah.
And you'll hear in a bit, you know, Yowies have a lot of vocalizations. Okay. Maybe even a step above their North American counterparts if they are a Bigfoot-like thing. And people have said that with Bigfoot, though, too, that they may have a gibbon-like throat pouch and stuff like that. Or well, howler monkeys, you know, these big resonating chambers.
Right. As loud as some of the accounts and stuff are. Yeah. You can hear from mountaintops away.
Especially if they're using infrasound and stuff like that. A big resonating chamber would make sense. It makes the sound louder, easier.
You can project it, yes.
So make no mistake, sightings of Australian Yowies are not limited to the past. In 1993, a man named Neil Frost, who lived in the Blue Mountain area, encountered in the shadows of his backyard an animal that Frost estimated must have weighed close to 300 pounds while walking on two legs, had a thick coat of hair, and bright red eyes. When the beast realized it was spotted, it shot away at high speed into the shadows. Despite attempts on the parts of Frost and his friends, Ian, to track the beast down over several occasions, the Yowie skillfully evaded them, just like its American cousin. So, yeah, and so he'd seen this Yowie several times on his property. He, once again, never was scared of it. It was roughly 300 pounds, so about the size of a large man.
Okay.
But not like the North American Sasquatch, where it's a ginormous behemoth, you know, gotcha. Being described.
Right.
It seems like him and his buddies were never scared of it. Every time they seen it, they were trying to chase it down.
Or get its attention.
They were just trying to just, you see, I don't think they were like going at it with guns or anything like that. Right, but they just wanted to see it, you know? So very ape-like to them. You know, it felt like an orangutan, you know, not an orangutan, but it felt like an animal that wasn't going to murder them.
According to their judgment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They were not scared enough of it to, you know, they pursued it.
Yeah, I guess, like, if I were to have an encounter with an actual, you know, a Bigfoot creature, and then I were also separately have an encounter with, like, you know, a chimpanzee or some ape, you know, 5 to 6
I'll take
foot
Bigfoot.
Well, yeah, I'm saying I could see where it'd be. Well, I know. Well, you and I both know that's still a very dangerous animal. It just maybe not feel like it because
it's not. It's smaller than you.
Yeah, or that, or you've seen them in a zoo before. You've just seen this before. Okay,
I seen the video of that one wearing that lady's face.
Oh, a chimp?
Yeah.
That's so scary.
That was her pet. And then she called the police that when you get here, just shoot him.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
He ripped my friend's face off.
I couldn't imagine. Yeah. Oh, never mind. I was just going to say, we're getting sheeps and goats, you know, in the future. But let's keep monkeys off the list.
I don't want any primates.
No primates.
If I ever had a primate, it would be like a squirrel monkey.
A little pocket size.
Because that's what Grandpa had.
Yeah. That's funny.
I mean, literally, they can fit in your hand. They hang on your fingers.
Yeah.
They're that small. They're a little smaller than, like, red squirrels.
Right.
All right, so even more modern-day sightings. June of 2013.
Oh, so we're really jumping.
Oh, I have stories from the whole
spectrum. Yeah.
June 2013, the Australia's Northern Star newspaper reported a recent encounter. Journalist Jamie Brown wrote, "The latest sighting took place recently north of Bexhill, when a Lesmore resident and musical videographer spied a classic creature crossing the moonlit bungalow road. The witness, who had asked not to be named in fear of ridicule, said that they were driving back home after a night of filming, and they just turned onto the bungalow road, heading down to the town when he spied the creature jumping a barbed wire fence paddock before briefly pausing at the edge of the road. Suddenly, the beast moved across the two lanes, raised its arms to apparently shield its eyes from the bright high beams of the approaching car. As for the witness who insisted, you know, anonymity. Thank you. They commented, "I would have seen it for maybe between 20 and 30 seconds. I was really moving at the time. It leaped at the fence, no problem. All I can remember is seeing the large black object with a solid build, lanky legs, and extremely long, lanky arms. It wasn't clothed. It wasn't anything like a human."
Hmm.
So let's, you know, break this one down.
Like the taller, thinner type of Sasquatch, I would say.
Yeah, but not overly tall. Once again, human size.
I guess thinner.
Yes, that long, lanky Sasquatch, like our Western Sasquatch.
I guess I just have a picture in my head. They're just taller because they're thinner.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so yes, like we talked about.
Sasquatch.
Yeah,
in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even Wes had one of these in his Sasquatch encounter.
Oh, that's true,
The two normal Sasquatch, and then, you know, this is the one that really kind of was very odd in the group.
Bigfoot really is a spectrum.
It is, like humans, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, if you pick a human from a different, I mean, you could do a country, a continent, whatever, we're going to be all shapes, sizes, and colors.
Oh, for sure.
It's because it's all phenotypical differences.
Yep.
But we're all humans, and I think the Sasquatch would be the same. That you pick them from, even across the country, across the world, they're still whatever they are.
Right.
There's white ones, black ones, red ones, tall, you know, thin ones. Like, I mean, we know people that are tall and thin and we aren't.
Oh, absolutely. I bowl with them.
Oh, gosh. No, that's one of the
extreme
tallest
examples. He's 7 foot tall and weighs 130 pounds.
But that classic Bigfoot, I mean, how many times have you heard here in North America them putting their hands up over their eyes when the cars are on them? Like, tons of times, especially out west.
Yeah.
The Pacific Northwest. Just, you know, trying to shield their eyes, whether it's to ruin their night vision or that they are much more, their eyes are just much more sensitive.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, not even a, it's actually hurting them.
It could be that. I like the shielding the night or protecting the night vision type things too, because once it blows out, it takes a while to recover.
Yeah,
for us, anyways.
And then, but the long, lanky arms, and then but long legs, which is pretty odd for a Sasquatch.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
I do wonder. I would. It'd be cool if we had photographs or you know, video of this, what he could see, because I still think Thinker Thunker from YouTube does some of the best job
of stuff.
Breaking down videos for authenticity and body size proportions, because it's the fastest way to tell you it's not somebody in a human in a costume.
Yeah, I love the eye measurements and the leg, like knee to shoulder measurements he does.
Just body proportions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's something that where he credits and discredits evidence based off of that.
Yep.
And not that he discredits it. It's just that, well, that's human proportions.
Yes.
So we can't really look at that with any certainty.
As seriously, yeah, because there's a chance now that it's a human.
The eye thing is a big one, because the face measurements to eyes.
Uh-huh.
Humans do have a range of how spaced our eyes can be.
Yeah.
And then a lot of Sasquatches are just
wider.
Completely out of that.
Yeah.
Like it's not close.
Mm-hmm.
Thinker Thunker. Check out his stuff. We've been watching him for, years.
Yeah.
The U.S. has, a couple hot spots. Okanagan County in Washington, Whitehall, New York. These are famous ones. There's no surprise that Australia has hot spots for their yowies. One has popped up in the news time and time again is the tiny town of Jim Nenna. It has a bustling population of 91 humans.
Ooh.
And a handful of yowies.
Oh, okay. That's pretty funny. Does it say that on the sign?
Yeah.
Population.
Home of the Yowie.
Yeah.
And here's a quote. We initially thought it was a wild boar or some really big animal until we got closer and saw it was very ape-like in many ways.
Hmm.
I never really had any paranormal or strange experiences like that before. I hardly slept at night, was feeling completely overwhelmed that I had seen something that I never believed in previously. So not that it's scared or anything like that, like as in that the creature's encounter itself was scary.
Right.
She was just had one of those fundamental experiences with the paranormal that I think a lot of people do. It doesn't matter if you see a shadow person, a ghost, a Bigfoot or whatever, that when you first see something that you knew was not real, it makes everything else real.
Right.
Or the option for everything else to be real.
It opens some doors.
Yes.
In your mind.
Yeah. And that's what happened with me and Bigfoot. It changes it personally. It changed a lot. It all can be real. Because you've never seen a Bigfoot.
Right.
I have.
Right.
But you've seen stuff I haven't.
Right.
And in general, people, we've had tons of people on this show that have quote unquote seen unbelievable things that I believe that they've seen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. Samus Fitzgerald told the Coroner Mail that he, starring with his daughter and another man, were driving down to the base camp on December 4th when he claimed to see a slouched over figure under a street light, which turned towards them, showing an extremely ape-like face before running off in a very strange ape-like way. This tiny town is in the corner of Queensland on the Jimnaya Ridge, however you say it. The name Jimnaya is believed to be an Aboriginal word meaning the place of leeches.
Ooh, not good.
It's what do all native people do? They name things pretty accurately.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, stay out of there. I just immediately...
Dead Man, Mountain of the Dead.
Right, exactly.
A couple weeks ago.
You ever seen Stand By Me, the movie?
A long time ago.
But the leech scene, that's what I think of when I think of leeches, is that.
I think of Grandpa's Vietnam story.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And they had to lay in the rice paddy for 2 days.
Yeah, oh, man.
And he had leeches on leeches on leeches.
Ugh.
He's like, they just start sucking on each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's another source.
Oh, they'll do it. So this ape-like face before running off in a very ape-like way. So this Aboriginal word meaning place of leeches. And the native population might say that this proof is that the Europeans who came there and leached their trees in gold.
Mm.
So a lot of people don't believe that it's named after actual leeches. It's named after the European settlers.
Okay.
Yep. Those forests, which make the prime Yowie hiding areas, and many local accounts of the beast in this area. And nearby old logging towns in Kilcoy and Kilcoy Sire.
Okay.
So, once again, a lot of North American counterparts. You know, we're some of the, quote unquote, in the 60s, some of the big Bigfoot sightings and stuff like that was logging roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people going out and harvesting timber, and then Bigfoot's not happy.
Right. I wonder why.
That their home is gone. Yeah. I used to sleep under that thing.
Right, yeah.
So Kilcoy experienced a real or and or imagined population increase during the late 1970s when sightings of Yowies, and then in quotes, an Aboriginal dream spirit, a white man's explanation of evidence for an ape-like human, were reported. A statue, based on the depictions from claimed observations, is now in Yowie Park and Hope Street in Kilcoy. For unbelievers, there's also an indoor sports complex in Yowie Park.
Mm.
So, yeah, they were having a lot of Yowie sightings and some trouble with the Yowies. So a lot of the people that believed in Yowies and a lot of the Aboriginals put together and built the statue of the Yowies.
Right. Yowie
Park. And it's still there. It's still there in Yowie Park.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, it's very...
And, oh, that's cool.
And they put it on a raised... It's wood.
Yeah.
But they put it on a raised metal pillar to get it further off the ground so
yeah.
people couldn't touch it because it's hand-carved.
Okay, yeah, that looks pretty neat.
It's very... It is very Bigfooty. It's very unique though too.
Yeah,
because it definitely has a lot more
human
features.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
But it still is very disproportionate. Like the arms are extremely long.
Long, okay.
I mean, they're almost down to its knees if you look at the statue.
Right. Yeah. Hmm.
And its legs are pretty small. You know, a lot of humans' length come. That's where our a lot of our height
is. Our legs.
Is
oh,
our
yeah.
legs.
We're all legs.
And this thing has a very large torso. You know, it depends on how accurate it is and everything like that. But they said they did build it off of the descriptions that they were getting at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Very long, flowing hair.
Mm, oh, nice. Majestic.
So Bennett says that three plantation workers talked to the locals about their sightings and told them the Yowies are pushed out in the storms. They go to the guy for Yowies in Australia is Dean Harrison, head of the Australian Yowie Research Organization, who in May of 2021 captured thermal images where he claimed 2 9-foot-tall Yowies were spotted in Queensland Springbrook National Park, a few hours' drive from this town. The Sun reports that Harrison has seen Yowies with orangey-brown hair, and they're typically around 2 to 4 inches in length of hair. But yeah, we've talked about Harrison before on the show.
Okay.
He's the Yowie guy in Australia.
Okay.
But yeah, you can look up these thermal, just look up Harrison Yowie thermal images. They're pretty fascinating.
Huh. I just wonder though, what it would be like a day in life just to hang out with them. You know, where do they go? What do they actually do? I don't know. Just drives me wild thinking about it. Because they're there, people are seeing them. So what are they doing?
And we had this next person actually on the show.
Ooh.
The Cryptid Paranormal Corner, our Australian buddy, another Australian buddy that had the dogman encounter.
Yes, 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 I remember.
So the Sun also mentioned at this time a recent dogman sighting from a kayaker who took a blurry photo that provided, you know, some details about the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
That was our buddy.
And I was just like, wait a minute, this sounds familiar.
Yeah, and we had him on the show. We put his pictures up. They're odd. It looks like a giant German Shepherd's head.
Is this one of the one with the red eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this. It was scary looking.
It just looks like a big, weird-looking German Shepherd until you go and see a picture later of him standing there, and it's like 8.5 foot off the ground.
Right, yeah.
Because it's hard to tell because there's no real scale in the picture.
There's no banana.
Until he goes in there in the same picture, and I believe it was his wife at, you know, stood at where he was and took the picture.
Yeah.
And you just realize how big
massive it actually was.
Mm-hmm. So the Jimnaya Yowie witness... had no other details or photos or videos of the creature. So they'd go on to their word and the fact of the prime Yowie hotspots. The fact that they went back out later to look for what they saw points in their favor, but it's far from proof, a lot of people say. The Yowie has returned to its statue in Kilcoy during daylight hours, and some tourists will have fully charged statues. So the Yowie's been seen at the park, this area, several times.
Okay.
So they think that he likes the statue.
Well, if it's not ripped up or tore up, yeah, I'd say you're probably right. At least he doesn't mind it.
Well, it's like what they just did in Salt Fork. They put a whole bunch of new Bigfoot statues out there.
Is it working?
I don't know, but it's fun. I like. Yeah. We didn't get a go this year
right.
due to some other obligations. But the new visitor center that our buddy Hickenbottom, John Hickenbottom,
yep.
a state naturalist.
Shout out.
Love him. Best mustache in Ohio. He's won awards for it.
I'd say literally.
But they've had amazing, amazing Welcome Nature Center with a big featuring of Sasquatch, including a life-sized furred Sasquatch inside.
Nice.
Tracks, sighting reports, all that. And then several new stone Sasquatches, like, painted throughout the park so you can go get your photos and right, stuff like yeah. that. And I just kind of wonder, and we've talked about that off air, if the Bigfoot's like that, if they just think it's weird, or if they go up to them.
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine, though, if they didn't like them, they wouldn't still be there. So
yeah, I mean,
I could say that much at least.
They'd be in the lake.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so we're going to take our ad break. But before that, get your kids fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the Junior Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio.
And the Future Anglers.
What'd I say?
Junior.
I always say it.
I know.
It's the Future Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio. Our buddy Tosh and a bunch of other people help run it. They're doing... this past weekend as of recording this, they just did another event for kids.
Mm-hmm.
They do all kinds. Get your kids signed up. Seriously, guys, it's awesome. I think there was just a catfish tournament this past weekend they just did for kids. Well,
Derby. Yeah. All right.
Down in, not Indian Lake, but in a close body. It may have been in Salina or something. Oh, no, it was a learn how to fish weekend.
Oh, nice.
They just did that where they had a whole bunch of volunteers come out and basically take three or four kids at a time and their parents if they, you know, because not everybody grows up in that space.
Right.
Like we did with our ice fishing
chart.
I was so excited with how many adults had come out that had never experienced ice fishing.
Right, yeah.
With the kids. And there were some people that didn't have kids and they're just like, I'm from Florida.
Yeah, how do you do this?
Yeah, how do you do this? And I'm just, here's a rod.
Right, yeah. Here you go.
You know, we'll do it. Because it's important. You don't care about natural resources unless you know about them.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And because if you don't know, you don't know.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, it's really neat. So check them out. The links are below. They're great people doing it. It's a great thing to be a part of. But yeah, all right, let's get the ad on.
Well, things are looking good for the Jamboree this year so far.
True, but I wonder if there's anything else that can make this event even more awesomer.
Well, there's really only one person that could be the judge of that.
Hey, that's a great idea. Let's give him a call.
Two whoops and tree knocks. Sasquatch is there.
Hey guys, what's up?
Well, we're going over the schedule for the Jamboree, but we wanted to see what you think.
All right, well, let me take a look here real fast. Okay, so the VIP tickets are $50 a piece, and that gets you into the Friday night dinner and meet and greet with the speakers and special guests. Monster costume contest? Well, that looks good. A free family room with activities for the kids? Well, that's outstanding. A Bigfoot calling contest. Of course, it looks like you're going to have a lot of food. Oh, good, and you'll have the craft vendors back. Last year, I actually found a Squatchtopus. Well, let's see who the speakers are this year. Oh, you have Connor and Alexis Fiden, and Randy Bauer, Ron Murphy, outstanding. Oh good, you guys will be speaking. Which J-Clone is going to be there? That's my question. And Tony Merkel as well. Oh good, you're going to have Jake Dressel back. He was excellent last year. And Brian Wolf. Why does that name sound familiar? Well, I have to tell you, gentlemen, having gone to a number of these events, this looks like it's going to be one of the best ones of the year. Say, will Tiny Toes be there?
Tiny Toes?
Yeah, the little guy that was there last year.
Oh, you mean Paul.
Yep. Tiny Toes will be there as well.
Tiny Toes.
Cool. Well, this all sounds fantastic, guys. And I look forward to seeing you there. Until then, Squatch Dust!
Bye!
Oh, gosh, I love that. So... there is a famous UFO festival called the Cadwell UFO Festival.
Oh.
It's Australia's only UFO festival as of now.
Okay.
And this is, there's some crazy UFO sightings. Like I said, Weird Crap in Australia is another podcast. They have some of the best deep dives into those subjects. It's great. But yeah, Australia is an amazing, wonderful country, and there's some really cool stuff. But they had Rex Gilroy, which is another one of the famous Australia's original Yowie man, was one of the keynote speakers, and this was a while ago. C-Files, where he spoke about UFO or Yowie reports, UFOs, and the lost Australian civilization known as the Eora. The last one is the subject of many of his books. 75-year-old Gilroy has written since seeing a UFO in 1959 and becoming interested in ufology, cryptozoology, and other paranormal subjects. According to the Daily Mail, Gilroy told Bragger that only that seven and a half feet tall giant would be able to fully lift the axe. There's a giant axe out there that they say is a Yowie axe.
A Yowie axe.
But people have said it's a giant axe, like a Nephilim axe.
Okay, this has got to be on a t-shirt or something. A Yowie axe? That's awesome.
Oh, we do have...
It's like the sword of Longinus? Is that what it's called?
Spear.
Spear of Longinus, yeah.
That's the spear they stabbed Jesus with.
Yeah, it's like a sacred... It's a Yowie axe.
It's a big rock axe.
It's awesome.
It is. It's a huge stone axe, and they think it's this giant lost civilization that used to live in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the thoughts is the Yowies are like the remnants of these that culture.
Yeah.
That race.
Yeah. Or whatever you'd say.
But it's huge. The axe is huge, and you can go out and see it.
There's somewhere else, I think, in America, too, is huge. There's like giant tools they found, like stone hammers and stone. I guess you could call it axe head or something like that, but the proportions are just so big. I mean, the guy would have to be, if it was a human doing it, it would have to be, you know, an 8-9 foot, 10 foot tall human that can wield something that size easily. Even in Japan, they have swords that are like 12 foot long swords.
Right.
But their proportion, like.
I think, now I may be wrong. I think there was one also found in like Scotland, Ireland, the like England area that was like 8.5 foot long. And I think they talked about it on. Oh, one of the sword shows of how that they're like their explanation. Well, it was just it had to be some blacksmith just proving his skill.
Right. Yeah.
Not that anybody would actually swing this thing around. But then I believe it did look like it had battle damage.
Yeah.
And that confused a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because like it would take three people to swing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Or just one big guy.
A Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Or a Nephilim or, you know.
Yes. Or whatever the giants were. There's evidence of them. I don't care what people says. There's evidence. They existed.
I do think there is tons of evidence for them.
Still the word giant is pretty, layered or...
Undescripted.
Yes, because it can... A 7 foot tall person to me is a giant.
Sure.
And if that's the
also
average...
Also a 15 foot tall person.
Is a giant. Yes, obviously. But like, yeah, it's a giant. I mean, if you're consistently popping babies out of that size, that's a giant race.
A giant group of people.
Yeah. I don't know. So it's a weird word, I guess. It could be blurred lines.
I seen the Dennis Ovens got small again.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I seen an article that just came out. They found, I forget what it was, like another part or something or something.
I think it's other people that used to live there too that they found. And they're just like, they just don't worry about the other ones.
Okay. So they're blurring, muddy in the waters is what they're doing.
Personally, I think so. I think the Dennis Ovens were maybe the giant race. Like they were one of the.
Part of it.
Because they were like the guardians to the land bridge.
Yeah. I mean, very well could have been.
Because it was like a 12-year-old girl. It was one of the teeth that they found, and she would have been like
in
Denisovan
cave in the middle of Siberia, like Russia, where that cave is. Mm-hmm. It takes like 3 days by truck and backpack. Three weeks to get back in there, yeah.
No, but they used to let, like, the first group that, we'll do a whole episode on the Denisovans eventually, because I think Joel wants to do it with us.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because he didn't know about it for a long time. He didn't know there was a cave full of Nephilim kids.
Well, at least one.
Well, like, no, they had three different bodies.
Okay, they did. Okay.
Yeah, there was three different bodies before Russia closed it down.
Because
the first group that went in was an international group.
Uh-huh.
They had Russian scientists and American and European and just like, and then they found it and stuff like that. And then when they came back, the site was closed by the Russian government.
Interesting.
And it's very special permissions. Now let's talk about a town in Australia that was plagued by Bigfoot.
Okay, terrorized.
But yeah, the Yowie. It was terrifying the residents of a coastal Queensland town for years. Well, in their minds, at least, says a lot of the news reports. According to the Australian's ABC News, the South Sea Islanders from the historic town of, I'm going to try to pronounce this, but this is an Aboriginal word.
Oh boy.
Put with English letters.
Oh boy.
And if anybody has ever looked at anything Aboriginal, it's never right. It's like North American, you know, natives having their words put into English.
So basically,
makes no sense because it's not their language.
Right, exactly. Basically, you're just saying, any Australian listeners, please help correct us.
Because we do have a couple Aboriginal listeners.
Oh, I know. They've corrected us before.
Josk Ellie is how I'm going to pronounce it.
Josk Ellie.
Josk Ellie.
Okay.
That's how I'm going to go with it.
It's all one
word. Or yeah, it's all one big word.
Josk Ellie. Josk Ellie.
I think it's Josk Ellie.
There we go.
But anyways, has been plagued for years by fear of both Yowies and ghost.
Okay.
along with certain rural stretches of roads in this town. Finally, the townspeople decided to band together against their fears in their community of supernaturals or interlopers. The brave residents went on a 3-kilometer nighttime walk along the supposedly haunted road where two alleged paranormal hotspots can be found. Bong's Corner, where its former medicine man lived, and a local church where dozens of yowies have been sighted.
Mm.
Even multiple yowies at the same time. Mm. So there's pictures of this. Like there's just documented all these locals, both Aboriginal and, you know, post settlers or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
We're all together doing this. It was such a real fear in this community that was really starting to freak them out. Some of the encounters were starting to get borderline aggressive or pushing the limits.
Yeah.
And so this town really did. So one local man named Dean, however, thought the march was silly and rooted in the community's visions of the boogeyman. There's always that one naysayer. Ah. So he says some of these ghost stories were probably relayed and passed down by their kids when they get home back inside from dark. Get inside before the big hairy man up the road gets you. They probably told these stories embedded to them in their hearts and minds of their children and passed them down. And everyone now believes in these silly ghost stories. They're probably all just myths.
I'm just thinking, like, now, you know, careful, kids. Don't go down the road. The big hairy man lives down there. He's going to get you.
Well, we've talked about that. That is a useful tool for kids. Because if you say it's
no, for sure,
snakes and alligators, they are like, sure. I want to see an alligator.
But I'm imagining an actual hairy man.
Oh.
Like an actual person.
A person. A big hairy guy.
That lives in the corner house down the road. Don't go down there. He'll get you. The big hairy man.
So sure enough, the ghost stories told to kids probably had some versions of truth that were first passed down. The prevalence of certain creatures or symbols, ape men, serpents, and floods, in so many different cultures and folklore is likely rooted in a deeply embedded collective of human subconsciousness. But the legends from ancestral past passed down from stories and folklore. But yeah, as for the ghost, who knows? It might just be a reflection of the fears of death or known, you know, some unknown afterlife for a lot of people. One thing is certain. There's a candlelight march likely didn't mean a whole lot to the denizens of the spirit realm, but it makes for good stories. Hmm. But yeah, they did this, and some people said that it pushed at least the ghost out.
Hmm, okay.
But the medicine man, I don't know. There's not a lot about him.
Right.
Good or bad, indifferent. Right. I've seen things say that, you know, but we talked about this, right? Because he lived in like a little metal shack. You can find pictures of his shack on the corner of this road.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And it literally is just a little metal shack.
Yeah.
We've talked about this on many episodes of the show where an older person especially is living alone and kids make up stories and they tell their kid, you know, and it gets passed down that who's probably, you know, just a normal human that just likes privacy or likes living alone.
Right.
Gets
yeah.
turned into a witch or a warlock or a
monster. They just have eccentric
taste.
Yeah. So the same thing. Yeah. Like I'm sure someone, if they never met you.
Oh gosh, I have a sea monster and a Bigfoot in my front yard.
Yep, and they walk by your house.
and crosses.
And dinosaurs.
And dinosaurs. Yes, no, eccentric. I get it.
Yeah.
I am the Yahoo's a witch.
All that's true. All that's 100% true.
It's my house is not hard to find.
No.
Anyways. No, so, you know, I don't know if he really was a bad person. I don't know if he really was a good person. I have no evidence for either, but I can, you know, like we've said already, I can see
how kids
walking down this what appears to be decrepit when he was living in it, because there's black and white pictures of when he was living in it.
Oh, yeah.
And you start telling stories. Well, he's a medicine man, you know, he's harvesting things.
You ever seen the movie The Burbs with Tom Hanks, which I don't care for him, but it's a good old movie from the 90s. It's this new, they live in like a little suburban, you know, cul-de-sac community, and this new family moves in, but they're like a family of doctors, and they're like, oh, well, they're weird. You know, we caught them burying bodies in the backyard. So all the neighbors in the whole community are just like on them, like, these guys are bad. Mm. So they wait till they leave and they break in their house and try to like find evidence, you know, of the dead bodies in their basement, all sorts of stuff, because they've created this whole story in their heads.
So right.
They're all convinced. They get in there, they're digging in the basement. And they hit a gas line and blow the whole house up. And they never
find, I have seen this movie.
They never find nothing. But then at the very, very, very end, after they're like sitting there with the police and all this stuff, they find a dead body in the backyard. Turns out they were right the whole time.
Oh.
They were actually right.
There's a video game that I don't think ever got released because it had so many reversions in like the betas called Hello Neighbor, which is the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Where the kids suspect that the neighbor's bad.
Yeah.
And there was like 80 versions of the game. And then I think it just kind of fizzled out because people got tired of waiting for it.
Right. Yeah.
So I have some Aboriginal stuff. I have a small article written by an Aboriginal descendant. I'm going to try to pronounce his name for you.
Okay.
Once again, an Aboriginal name, try to put into English. So it's not how it's supposed to be pronounced. Bipin is the first word, and it's just spelled Bipin.
Bipin.
Mm-hmm. Doramai.
Bipin Doramai.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like, I don't even want to say it. Lord of the Rings character is what I was going to say.
Okay, fair.
And this is the few stuff I could find about Yowie and Aboriginal, you know, stuff kind of mixed together, and there's not much on it.
Yeah.
The whole history of the Aborigines of Australia is extremely complex and multifaceted. Looming large in the folklore of Australia, both ancient and modern, is a strange, hairy creature in the outback known as the Yowie. The Yowie has been described in many different ways, especially depending on the different tribes of Aboriginals. And we've talked the same thing with the Bunyip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we did that episode, is that the Bunyip was just an aquatic monster. You know, this one was a giant starfish. This one was a crocodile. This one was a bird. You know, but yeah. So
multitudes of the
rough, you know, cut of the Yowie's description by the Aboriginal people is an extremely large, hairy, upright hominid of heights of 1.2 meters and up to a mass of 3.6 meters. So for English, 6.5 to 12 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So just up there with our biggest of North American Bigfoots,
yep.
You know, reported.
And our smaller Bigfoot, like it's yeah, that same range. Yeah.
The distinguishing thing about the Yowie is that, the distinguishing thing about the Yowie is it had big feet larger than that of humans. But the purported tracks of the Yowie, much like everything else about the creature, are not in consistent size, shape, or toe numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It says similar with North American Sasquatch.
All spectrums.
They have several witnesses of Yowie footprints over the years, but they don't match descriptions of one another. The nose of the Yowie is described as something of flat and wide, something that is missing. Some people report Yowies are shy and timid, and others report extremely violent creatures. Mm. And it really is depending on the tribe and who you're talking about. But there's definitely a sense that there's something out there in the vast uninhabited interior of Australia, and people don't get that the 99% of Australia is uninhabited.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the Aboriginals.
Right. Like the bush in the middle is...
There's nobody there.
Except literally Aborigines.
And a lot of them don't go to
right.
90% of the country.
Right.
You know, what was it? We talked about it before in Australia. I think it's like 75 or 80% of the population lives within 100 miles of the ocean.
Yep.
Like just because, I mean, that's where all the rainforest, that's where all the woods, that's where all the grasslands.
Cause anything habitable.
Then you go inside and it's... 5 of the 8 most deadliest snakes in the world are inside. The other 3 on the outside.
Right, yeah. And then every plant wants to kill you and maim you.
I think it was 1 in 4 are toxic. Wasn't that what it was?
Something nuts, yeah.
And then there's the gimpy tree.
I don't remember what that one does.
That one, you want to die. And the pain can last for years.
Yeah. I remember that. Okay,
like, it's just crippling pain for years.
Yep.
And you'll beg people to die. To kill you. Just shoot me. Shoot me. It burns so bad.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do. But yeah, so violent creatures, there's definitely a sense of something out there. Some people, you know, depending on Aborigines, modern day, who you talk to, they say, you know, it is a relative of the Bigfoot of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Some say it's the lost human ancestor from the way out back, or they really think it's, whether you want to say a cousin, like a lost tribe, even like some of the North American natives describe here.
Right, yeah.
Where Sasquatch is just a lost tribe.
Right.
You know, that we used to have connections with them and now we don't for whatever reasons.
Just ancient people.
And they're just, you know, they're just a form of us that is more adapt to living in the harsh climate.
Or
in harmony with nature.
Yeah.
Derek Hayes on Monster Among Us has had some really, really amazing Yowie encounters reported to him. Just type in Yowie on the page. It's great. The one that always stuck to me is there are places out in the middle of the outback. We've talked about the truckers that have to drive through the middle of it and how they have to like plan camping and stuff like that. And the dingoes are a real big issue for them. They'll run up and the guy was told the cameraman to get inside because the dingoes are coming to murder us.
Yeah.
They're not dogs.
No.
And there's an Australian park show now that will tell you like they look like dogs. They're not dogs. They are wild.
They will murder you.
Yeah, they will eat you.
Yeah.
You know, these are zoo, you know, these
pack
are
pack animals.
I think these, he was like, these ones are a little different because they're like fifth or sixth generation, you know, zoo dingoes.
Yeah.
They're still not pets.
Right.
But we can get in the pens with them and stuff like, you know, we've gotten rid of a lot of that prey drive.
Right. Yeah.
Because they eat out of bowls.
Right. And they're not going to attack you.
Yeah. We don't give them carcasses.
Right.
But, you know, they still, they attack zookeepers every once in a while. They're not dogs. So, Yowie's out there. There's like pig hunting ranches and stuff like that where you can do stuff. And she was at, this lady that called in was basically at one. And there was just her and her boyfriend. It was her boyfriend's family's place. And they were waiting on everybody else to get there. So they were coming in like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
The showers were outside, like away from things, the bathroom house. And like, and she just kept having weird encounters with something extremely large, like coming up to the door, like, and then walking off. And
yeah.
They, she thought it was pigs. And finally, basically, she seen one and her family told her it was, they're Yowie. We normally don't come this early in the season. So they normally clear off by the time we start bringing people out to hunt pig.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And we see them just at the, normally just the beginning and at the tail end of the season.
Seasons. Yeah. Yeah.
And we didn't want to tell you because, you know, we sound crazy, but they're out there. We've had a little bit of issues with them, but
not much.
She's, yeah.
Not enough to cause a problem.
We're pretty much at an understanding now.
Yeah.
That this is what we do and this is what they do.
Yeah.
And she had a, like, she had like a 15 minute, you know, story that she gave on that. That's just
the Cliff Note version.
Yeah, the Cliff Note version. The Yowie has a myriad of possibilities, and there is a whole subset of Yowie sightings and culture that is the tiny ones.
Jeez. Okay. Just like here.
Just like here.
Yeah.
Where if you ask a lot of the Aboriginal tribes, depending on which tribe, they're not bigger than 4 foot tall. They're never bigger than 4 foot tall. And they are a little chunky.
Like Jake's mini foots,
like
here.
Jake's little foots.
Little foot, yeah.
Mini foot, little foot, yeah. But they're chunky.
Right.
They're little rotund things.
Thick.
But baby Bigfoots seen with adult Bigfoots most of the time are really thin.
Yeah.
These things in North America that are seen by themselves are normally pretty chunky.
Mm-hmm.
And even that Puckwudgie from the, oh, I just forgot the name of the swamp, the Hockomock Swamp, that was talking to the guy in Native, one of the Native American languages, and he didn't know at the time, saying, me want you.
Yeah.
Me want you. You know, and he's just, but he said it was little, but it was like an old man. It looked like an old man.
What does that mean? Me want you.
Yeah, well, he thought it was like trying to lead him off.
Right, yeah.
So, let's just start off the top. Are these just a native species of ape or a released species of ape? Like we talked about with the skunk ape, you know, pirates and travelers and ocean farers would have apes. They would chain up billy apes and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Species we didn't discover until the 2000s.
Right, yeah.
I know, but Western science didn't discover until the 2000s, but were chained up in ships for entertainment. And
right,
then released,
absolutely.
You know.
Entertainment. That's insane.
It was. I mean, it was. That's what they would use these animals for.
Gosh.
And are these just a population of released apes that are around the coastline? There's so many rainforests. There's so much hidden. You know, it's kind of similar to some of the areas that they may be from, depending on which species of ape. And they're just seen every once in a while.
I mean, I will never rule out
Australia
that being
has
part of the
so many invasives.
Absolutely. And so much space to live and hide.
Everything
and
from camels
everywhere.
To rabbits.
Gosh, you can't rule out
foxes.
This. Can't rule out this being an option, at least for some of the sightings or a sighting.
I don't believe this is a wide stretch of the Yowie sightings whatsoever.
No,
personally, but I see it posted out there.
Right. I don't think this explains the entire phenomena.
I do think there's maybe a hidden group of apes that is invasive or maybe even native.
I think it's very possible. Yeah.
So the islands coming down to Australia, we've talked about that great divide between Asian and Australian fauna.
Mm-hmm.
It's only like a 50-mile stretch of ocean,
which is crazy,
but it's super deep and it's super cold and it's super fast that even the Asian elephants don't really ever
cross it.
Well, it won't try, but they'll island hop
right
other islands.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, a storm system blew orangutans down
for sure, or yeah. Like you said, ships. I mean, we how many people did we bring to Australia as prisoners Hey, who's going to say we're not going to bring other things on those ships?
I mean, horses. I mean,
like whatever we want to bring. Yeah.
There's all kinds of invasives.
We're bringing people there.
There's giraffes. There's a whole breeding colony of giraffes in Australia.
Gosh,
in the outback.
So, yeah, I think I'd be very well part of it.
Yeah. We're going to really confuse paleontologists in a few thousand years.
Who's to say that stuff didn't already, though, happen, you know?
Oh, I think it did. I'm just saying
that
when you find this, well, there's giraffes in Australia. When did that happen?
Right. And that's if they find that one random fossil.
But they're probably going to bury their giraffes. They're not going to let scavengers just
rip just them mean, apart. Like, throughout history, we've probably already been through all this. Like, animals been all over the world.
Oh, yeah. We just talked about the Chinese emperors that were.
Right.
There was just one example.
One example, yeah. So, yeah, who knows where.
When he got the dragon, the Curin.
Uh-huh.
And it was a giraffe.
Yeah.
If you look at the pictures, the paintings of it. It was a giraffe. It was a reticulated giraffe he'd never seen one. They never knew they existed.
Yeah, it's all relative to the eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm. So, that's the first one.
Yeah, so, I put a little stock in that for some of the stuff.
Yeah, that could be some of the smaller ones. Some of the...
The overall phenomena, no.
So, a lot of these, the earlier ones, the 18 and early 1900 ones,
mm-hmm.
where they weren't huge, and they were ape-like,
mm-hmm.
and they were... People weren't scared of them, though.
Well, it's probably before, the world government started capturing them and manipulating their DNA and splicing it, and releasing them back in the...
But one thought I had is, if you noticed, a lot of those sightings were around houses, around farms.
Okay.
Same with the skunk apes. And I wonder if they were just getting fruit trees. Like, they were just eating food out of the gardens, and that's why they kept returning.
Gotcha.
And the people weren't really scared of them. You know, they'd go after them, and they couldn't find them. But... They didn't really, nobody was talking like, if you see an 8-foot-tall Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not very many people besides maybe Joel that'll start getting in the woods and chasing after
it. Right, absolutely, yeah. I wonder if it's just the two with that phenomena. They're that not fully physical, all the time.
I wanted to do, you think these are just the hidden primate, the North American, the Gigantopithecus Americanus?
Well, I'm going to say it very much parallels what's going on here in the U.S.
There's a lot of differences, but there is a lot of similarities.
Like, I'd say behavior and overall phenomena experience is very similar. Just like I said, parallels what happens here. So I feel like this is the same thing, the same feature that's happening in America or here where we live,
whatever
it's just
thing
the
is
Australian counterpart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, and yeah, so, we can go all up and down the spectrum of, is it a creature? Is it an escaped ape? Is it just an unknown ape? Is it a interdimensional wizard alien from planet Voltron? I don't know. Could be some of this stuff.
There are a lot of similarities. I love that the lost tribe aspect, because that's another North American, not a North American thing. But another thing that is said in North America by the native tribes is that, they were people, whether they meant that literally or figuratively, as in
an intelligent
group of, beings.
Right.
And they used to have, powwows with them, and they used to do all that. The Aborigines said the same thing, that they were basically the bush people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not to be trifled with, but they were not to be feared on most occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And the very similar thing to North America, they kind of don't mess with them and they won't mess with you kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
They're very much a stay in their own kind of lane thing.
Right. Yeah.
And the Aboriginals talked about that, at least in what I could find a good bit, that, they're not anything to be feared. They're not, a Yowie's not going to break into your tent and kill you. But if you go into a Yowie's territory and you start, if you pick the fight.
Right. There's going to be problems.
They will win.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, if you're avoiding the markers and those kind of stuff, they're not going to just come and take you and eat you.
Mm-hmm. I still wonder, too, if modern humans, you and I and everyone in the world today, if we are just, because we are a hybrid species, we know that. If there is an older, bigger species that we used to, intermingle with or live amongst. And if human beings were to go feral, let's just say that, I'm still convinced within maybe a couple generations, you'll have new features. You'll have adapted features where you might be more hairy. You might be more like just I guess you put on more muscle, you might, or put on more, you store more fat in other areas to stay warm.
Just look at the diversity in humans today.
Today.
From the Inuits to the Africans to, you know, the Northern Europeans.
And then look also, look how much those same people have changed in the past 200 years.
Yeah.
Like our body types aren't even the same.
A human is a human is a human. We grow to fit our environment.
Yeah, our niches.
Like, what's the big difference? And this is, I mean, I'm sure people know this. What makes an African person, somebody, you know, one of the countries that are on the equator, what makes them black? It's melanin.
Right, different, yeah.
It's just melanin in the skin. Melanin
in the skin, yeah.
Because it protects them because of where they live.
But even just beyond that, like...
I mean, the Aboriginals had it.
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah.
And they're not closely related whatsoever as far as in the groups of people.
But
that's a species, that's a human thing.
Yes.
That when we live near the equator, we get darker colored skin.
Naturally happens, yes.
When we live further away from the equator, we get lighter colored skin.
And I'm even saying more just in the modern world.
Yeah.
Just based on diet alone.
Oh, huge.
Or footwear, the clothes we wear changes mm-hmm. has changed our bodies mm-hmm. physically and dramatically, generationally, it's changed it, which is crazy to think about. I mean, having living a life, a high processed food, you know, what we're given, high processed food, artificial stuff. You live that your whole life, and then you have children, and now they develop already.
Look at the pinky toe.
That's what I meant for the generations. Shoes. For the shoes.
In three generations.
Yep.
Our great-grandparents had full access to their pinky toe. Like, you could climb with them.
Uh-huh.
I can...
Barely move it.
I can't even move mine.
Can't even bend it anymore.
Yeah.
My left one's rough. My right one, I can still splay my toes out.
I can't move it at all.
My left one's rough.
It's like a flipper down there.
Yeah, that's why you're good in the water.
Mm-hmm. Not fast, like
you see, you're
Michael.
A
I'm just
you're yeah, right.
But I'm like a manatee. I'm not going to drown.
You're not fast, but you're graceful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'll be there for a while. but no, yeah, humans. So why shouldn't Sasquatch? Why shouldn't or what if they are people? I mean,
yeah,
we don't know what Cro-Magnon, Neanderthal, Denisovan, which are all humans. That's all humans.
Yes.
You know, we are people. Mm-hmm. It's all one people, even though they are very physically different than us.
Mm-hmm.
It's humans. They interbred. And, you know, we knew Neanderthals had much wider, stronger rib cages,
mm-hmm.
you know, bigger skulls. They were not dumb. They had high-speed drills. And by that, I mean, like, still the simple drills. But they had high-speed drills. Yeah. They had jewelry. They had complex cultures and things. But their skulls were developed for a much more raw diet.
Mm-hmm.
And their organs were a little bit set up probably to eat raw meat.
Right, yeah.
And not get sick.
A little bit different. It's yeah, like you said, you're a product of your environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like I imagine if, you know, let's just say there's an EMP goes off and the whole world loses all of its electronics and we're thrown back into whatever, the Stone Age or something. I don't know. Just immediately tomorrow. And now fast forward from that scenario to like two generations down the line. You know, a lot of people are going to not make it. I'm just, unfortunately, that's the bad part. But so the people that do, then, you know, they reproduce a couple generations down the line. You think those people, a couple generations down the line with living in a world of like harsh fight to survive with no electronics, nothing like thrown back, are going to look even remotely similar to mm-hmm. the people that we're walking around today in a world of convenience and basically, yeah, convenience. Let's just put it that way. Everything's at your fingertips. You don't have to fight to survive like we did in that way. So it's fight and survive in other ways now, like how to keep the government off your taxes off your back. You know, that's a different type of fight and survival.
Right, no, yeah, that's your
it's
brain.
It's still the same thing, but it's
still survival, but it's a whole different
physical aspect to it.
Well, it's just like the people.
And mental aspect to it.
I guess get back to the Yowie because we're on.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But so I guess is the Yowie a group of humans.
Right, yeah. That could look different.
I kind of lean towards that even a little more than the North American Bigfoot.
Is it because of that statue?
That's one reason, but that other depictions really give them much more humanistic characteristics, but still having wild aspects
to it.
And there are so much with the lost cultures of Australia. The Aborigines talk about that there was another group of people that lived there, and they were very different. They had very different, whether it was views, cultural importance, and stuff like that. You know, mm-hmm. the Aborigines have some of the oldest documented stories
yes.
And history in the world.
Yep.
ever. Like, I think, of any group that's still alive.
I think the oldest. It's their group.
There's another group,
like,
that's
oral tradition
that's right up there.
Yeah.
But I personally believe Aboriginals are the oldest.
Yeah.
Because they can still read the stuff that they were writing 44,000 years ago.
They still got... I bring it up multiple times on the show. This documentary about the Australian Aborigines, best thing in the world. They just basically got a guy that translates it, an Aborigine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, telling the stories of their tribe and
teller. Yeah, what, the
they
job.
What they believe and why they believe it. And It's really fascinating, and it's so much more simple than we think. And I think that's what life's all about. It's more simple than we think. We got all this crap that makes it too complicated anymore. Like technology and things. You know, you just get back to the simple things,
calm
and life
down.
Is simpler. I know.
But yeah,
it's
so
exciting. It's
there's
good.
Also the fae side of this.
Yeah.
Are these forest elementals? I mean, Fern Valley, we've talked about with Australia's rainforest. And Are these just the outback elementals? Are these the things, you know, are they just protecting areas?
I think yes. And, you know, is there a difference between that and what quote unquote Bigfoot is? Maybe.
You know, that umbrella term kind of thing.
It might be the same exact stuff still.
So do you think that these are the same group of things that are here in North America? Or the same umbrella group?
Yes. I want to say yes, same thing, but different flavor.
Yeah. All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So this is...
It's like a lineup of flavors of the forest. You know, you got all your... You got your normal Bigfoot breath, and then you got your horseradish. You got your ginger. You got your spicy ones. You know, it's... But it's all the same.
I've still never had the cranberry, and I won't shut up about it, Nelson, till I get it.
Well, wait till it's back in season.
Make it special.
Yeah, there you go.
It's just interesting. And yeah. I would love more information. If you guys listening, reach out, cribsofcornpodcast@gmail.com. Send us anything, any Australian stuff, or any stuff from your home country. If you're listening to this in China, and you want us to cover something in China, please send us stuff. Because here in America, in Ohio, I can look up the basic information of a lot of cryptids and paranormal entities and weird mysteries from around the world. But I'm always just going to get essentially like the flavor text.
Right, yeah.
And I don't care how VPN I use. I will never get as good a stuff as you guys living there will get.
Mm-hmm.
So please, you know, email, send us about your stuff. Because if you have, like, we have listeners in China, I can see where you guys listen from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in more countries than we're not, and there are more cryptids and paranormal beings and UFOs and, you know, crazy
you
stuff than I will ever know.
Yep.
Unless all you guys reach out and tell us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been J Clone 10.
And we'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribs of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.